family enjoyed that Sunday dinner today. Amen. They always try to kill the preacher on lasagna day. So, I'll do my best to stay up here, not get down too close to you. And you stay out there, don't get too close to me. And we'll all say we enjoyed Sunday dinner. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, all things are full of labor. Everybody say, oh me. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you to God for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. I thank you for your presence. Lord, your spirit to God. Lord, you've already been pulling in on our hearts and speaking to our lives. Lord, and I pray to God, Lord, that your presence, Lord, will continue to fill this place. Anoint me to minister this message, Lord, that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray to God, encourage us tonight, Lord, and continue to work this work to God that you've been working in us, Lord, for these last several months to God. And I pray to God, you'll meet us in these altars to God. Continue to fill us full of the Holy Ghost and revive our hearts. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Solomon here is writing Ecclesiastes. And really, as you begin to read the book, it's kind of depressing because it's about a man who climbed to the top and found out that what he thought was at the top wasn't at the top. But he begins the book of Ecclesiastes and with some just kind of moldrel sayings. He says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. Have you ever got out of bed on Monday morning and that's the way you felt? All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. If this doesn't begin to categorize the mindset of society today, I don't know what does. Nobody's satisfied. He said, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And he goes on and he says that thing that we always say, and there is no new thing under the sun. How many's heard that saying before? No new thing under the sun. Solomon said, I've seen it all. I've studied it all. And there's nothing new at all. And he goes on in verse 10 and says, and is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. Solomon spent his life following the guy that said, see, this is new. He traveled far and wide. He had everything that you could have. Anybody that said they had something new, Solomon had to go see it to see if this is new. And he said, after all of this, I found out that no matter who said, see, this is new, I got there and it wasn't new. I want to preach for a little bit on old hat or. Old hat or. Now, how many knows the terminology old hat? He said, that ain't even a word. Look it up. There's a definition for it. Old hat, old fashioned, outdated, obsolete, had it outmoded. How many has something at your house that sits in a closet collecting dust that is old hat? Well, some of you guys need to dust them old suit coats off and dig out a few of them old ties, because guess what? It's coming back. Old hat, old fashioned, outdated, obsolete, had it outmoded. We're living in a day and a time and a society in which things quickly become old hat. Today's news is going to be tomorrow's yesterday. they're going to forget about it. Whatever made the headlines today, guess what? They're going to forget about it tomorrow. The moment you go and purchase a cell phone, in 1 month, I can guarantee you, it's going to be outmoded. It's going to be outdated. The processor isn't fast enough. The camera doesn't take a good enough picture. Today's society is constantly looking for the new. And the new quickly becomes old hat. What I begin to read in my Bible, I find in Hebrews 13 and 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We get all excited about that because Christ is consistent. Christ is the same. In that old hat thing that you've been hanging on to, you get all excited because you say, well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what was good yesterday has to be good today, right? I'm going somewhere. Just hang on with me. I'm going somewhere. Malachi 3 and 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. We get excited about that too, don't we? Because God is God. He is immutable. He doesn't change. This world can change, but God does not change. And we know that. How many knows that? I mean, am I preaching anything new that no? Okay, everybody knows. God doesn't change. He is immutable. If God does not change and nothing is new, then why are we constantly looking for something new? If God does not change and nothing is new, then why are we constantly looking for something new? Well, it's part of the time frame that we live in. As I was kind of, you know, glancing over, we're creatures that are not satisfied. Now, I have a set of golf clubs, and they sit in my closet. Lucas has a set of golf clubs. Two sets of golf clubs. They set in his closet or his garage. And you know what? Those golf clubs have not seen the light of day for 2 years. They're collecting dust. And about, I guess it's 4 years ago. No, 3 years ago. I guess it's 3 years ago. I got all excited, Brother Gary. And I upgraded my set because I was going to play a lot of golf. So I bought all new clubs and new drivers, and I was excited because new clubs and new drivers have to make me play better. You know what, Brother Fields? I got out there, and the new driver didn't make me play any better. And I got all excited, and I played a couple games, and I hit the driving range for a few days, and then, for some reason, I just wasn't as excited anymore. And other things begin to take precedence over what had caused me much excitement. And so the golf clubs went in the closet. And you know what? They're kind of old hat. Because you know what? What's the new thing right now? It's shooting guns. Let's get a new gun. Let's go shoot. Yeah, and all the men in the church are grinning because they've all been bit by the same bug. And if there's free time, you know what? It's spent. Well, we're going to go shoot guns. We're excited about it. If somebody gets a new toy, it has to come. And we're excited about it. Well, how is it that if God doesn't change and nothing is new, then why are we constantly looking for something new? Could it be that we are creatures who crave the excitement of something new? Now, maybe golf's not your thing. Maybe guns are not your thing. Maybe clothes are your thing. Maybe shoes are your thing. I can tell you something. When I get a new pair of shoes, I get excited because I like new shoes. I like my feet to say, oh, when I put my foot in a shoe. But I begin to find that we are creatures who crave the excitement of something new. Now, some folks, they hang on to things for years and years and years and years and years. And you know what? I'm not really that person. I hang on to stuff, but it's because I forgot that I had it. My grandpa has stuff that I don't know. He's been farming for 70-some years, I think. But they've had the old home place, and there's stuff in that barn that I can guarantee you has been there for 70 years. And the crazy thing about it is, most of the time, they know which pieces have been in there for 70 years. But you know what? They're not still farming with a 70-year-old tractor. Because they like to have some new things from time to time. And it excites them. So I don't care if you're sitting back there and say, well, I'm just not one of these guys that gets excited about something new. Everybody gets excited about something new. But eventually, whatever you got excited about becomes old hat. It gets stuck on a shelf somewhere. It gets stuck in a closet. It's no longer a new truck because it got a scratch on it. So now you're ready to go boondocking with the four-wheel drive. It's okay. We scratched the new truck. Things become old hat. Did you know that you were created that way? You were created for new things to excite you, but that new thing to become old hat. You were created that way. Why were you created that way? Because we were designed with a need to discover new things. So what I begin to learn as I begin to look at this is it's not that you get excited about new things. Discoveries excite you. It's discovery that begins to trigger that emotion in you that gets you excited about something new because all of a sudden it intrigues you. You know, Brother Pepper likes computers. And when he gets a new computer that has a new operating system, it tickles his taste buds. I mean, it makes him happy. He smiles. Because it intrigues him. You know, I watch some of these kids, and it's what intrigues kids doesn't intrigue me most of the time. But what intrigues me is watching what intrigues kids and how they will get a hold of something. You know, I like to play my Call of Duty video game from time to time. And I know how to turn it on. I know how to plug it in. I know how to do it. But Titus has some games that Minecraft, and I don't know, it's these little block guys running around and build stuff, and the Lego game. And Weston come to me and he's like, Dad, can you turn the Lego game on? I said, Bub, I don't know how to turn the Lego game on. And so he quit coming to me and he's like, Dad, you don't know, I'll go get Titus. But I watch as they get that new game and they sit down. And it intrigues them because they begin to discover something new. It challenges them. When I get a new pistol, you know what? It intrigues me because I want to know the brand. I want to know the make. I want to know the grain bullet. I want to know how fast the velocity is coming out of that pistol barrel. Those things intrigue me. But sooner or later, guess what? It becomes old hat because I know it. Going somewhere. However, this craving to discover new things within us sometimes is pushed. However, this craving within us sometimes is pushed past the immutability of God. If God doesn't change, God's the same, but yet we always want something new. Sometimes our quest for new, we push past the immutability of God. The unchangingness, the nothing new of God. You say, well, why would God create me to desire something new when there's nothing new with Him? How do we embrace the unwavering, unchanging truths of God and not grow tired of them? If we're not careful in our desires to always discover something new, when God does the same thing over and over again, what God's doing can become old hat. You say, well, we're going on 15 or 16 weeks of God moving every Sunday morning in a mighty way. And Pastor actually touched on that this morning because it's been in his mind of how, because God's been doing the same thing. You say, well, I know it ain't been the same service, but we have come to expect that God is going to show up on Sunday morning and he's going to speak and we're going to respond and he's going to work in our hearts. But if you're not careful, you can discard that as old hat. You want to know why? Because it becomes familiar. It becomes status quo. It can become that same old cell phone that you carry around in your pocket and it does its job just fine. But you're not excited about it no more. Lamentations 3:22 says this: it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Okay, so I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But yet my compassions are new every morning. Well, Brother Jason, well, how can a God that's the same all the time ever be new? I'm glad you asked that. How can a God that's never changes, how can there be nothing new underneath the sun, but yet his compassions are new every morning? I'm going to clue you in on just a little bit. It's not that his compassions are new. They're the same as they've always been. But to God, every day is new. Psalms 39:3 says this: my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Why did the psalmist want to know his end? Why did he want to know how long his life was? And why did he want to know that he was frail? It has everything to do with, if you backed up and read the preceding verses, that he said, I'm going to speak neither good, I'm not going to speak bad, I'm just going to shut up and live my Christian walk all to myself. But you see, something was going on in the psalmist's heart, because there was a need to discover something new. And so while he was laying there on his bed, and I say it was on his bed, I don't know, but his heart was hot within him because he was musing. What was he musing on? Well, anybody know what muse means? It means to think. Do you know you don't have any musing parks in America? You know what you have? You have amusement parks. You what amuse means? Not to think. We go to amusement parks not to think. But yet we can find here that the psalmist was musing and something began to burn within his heart, because he began to discover something new. Because when he began to think about God and he began to think about the fact that he's sitting here with his mouth shut when he should be speaking God's truths, he said, God, make me to know mine end and to measure my days, that I may know how frail I am. Why? Because something needed to be new for him. Let's go on. Jeremiah 20:9, we find another man. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Why was the word of God burning within Jeremiah? Because the word of God in Jeremiah's heart wasn't old hat. And Jeremiah said, I'm tired of talking. I've got the same message for the same people every day. And they give me the same response every day. They don't want to hear the same message every day. And to the people of Israel, Jeremiah was old hat. And said, Jeremiah, I'm sick and tired of your same old message all over again and again and again and again. And Jeremiah said, well, I'm going to shut up. You don't want to hear the same old message. I'm just going to shut up. But yet, after he shut up, there was still something new about the message to Jeremiah every day he got up. And he said, it was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. He got tired of keeping the message to himself. And even if it wasn't new for the people, every day that the fire of God began to burn in Jeremiah's heart, it was new for Jeremiah every day. The presence of God has not changed. The power of God has not changed. The message of truth has not changed. But God wants to do a new thing in you. God doesn't change. His message doesn't change. His holiness hasn't changed. He is immutable. What was good for Abraham is still good for you today. Nothing has changed about God. But yet, how many times do we say, I wish we could go back like it used to be. What's so different about what it used to be than what it can be now? Nothing. God didn't move any differently. God's been the same, church. There's nothing new underneath the sun. I'm going to drive this home in your head. Because so many times we equate newness with freshness from God. And there's a lot of new things that are running around, and it seems like they're exciting. It seems like they're a great move of God. But yet when you look at the nuts and the bolts of it, it's not God. So how in the world can we have something new with somebody that is always the same? Psalms 33 and 3 says this. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Was David playing a new song? I'm asking you this. I know David wrote a lot of songs. But do you think David was actually singing a new song? Just think about it. Psalms 43. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Did he sing a new song that time? Psalms 98:1 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Were they singing a new song? Psalms 149:1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Was he singing a new song four times in a row? No, he wasn't. More than likely, he probably sang the same song multiple times in a row. And they may have said, David, you know, you're a great skilled musician and songwriter, but do we have to sing I'll Fly Away again? So what's new about the song? Well, to David, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Every time David went to church, to David, it was a new song. It didn't matter if he was singing "I'll Fly Away" for the 600th time. When David went to church, it was a new song. What was the difference? What made it alive for David? Because every time David went to church, he discovered something new in the same old, same old, same old of the moving of God, because his attitude was one in which he was looking for something new. I come to tell you tonight that there's something new for you in the immutability of God. There's something new for you even in the truth that does not change. There's something new for you in the holiness that is still good for everybody. It's all about how you approach it in your attitude. Holiness isn't old hat. Righteousness isn't old hat. I'll fly away isn't old hat. But let me tell you, if you're constantly looking for something new, it's not going to be there. But when you begin to rediscover what has always been, there's going to be something new in it for you. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43:19 says this: "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Was God doing a new thing? No, he was just rebirthing what had always been there. Second Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Did God change? No. You just discovered something new in the guy that never changes. Let me tell you something, church. God's been dealing in my heart that so many times we discover him in the sanctuary and it's new. Sunday mornings, we begin to praise God. We leave here feeling that God's done a new thing in me. But if you're not discovering something new every day, then what God did on Sunday morning throughout the week can become old hat. You see, God understood that even though he's the same and he never changes, he understands that it's still every day for me and you, his compassions have to be new. Ever wonder that maybe some days he looks at us and he scratches his head and he's like, "I don't have any patience to carry over from yesterday, so today's patience has to be brand new." God hasn't changed, church. And God's been doing a new thing in this house. But it's time to take what's been new in the sanctuary, and it's time to put it into action new every day. You see, the psalmist was glad when they said unto him, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." But most of these songs he sang weren't sung in the house of the Lord. They were sung during some hard times, some trials. They were sung out in the sheep pen watching sheep. They were sung in multiple places in multiple ways, because the psalmist understood that every day has to be a new day with me. Otherwise, it becomes old hat. Because we have been created to discover. We've been created to desire something new. So what God's been dealing with me in my heart is that every morning, his compassions and mercies are new. And if I don't fail, or if I fail to realize that, if I fail to thank him for that, if I fail to praise him for that, every day that they're new, they become old hat. And I begin to find myself going through a Christian walk in which it seems that the power of God is moving and God's touching, and maybe a lot of people are discovering something new. But if I'm not discovering it, whose fault is it? It's mine. I got to discover more than on Sunday morning, Brother Robert. I got to discover it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning. I've got to discover new every day. But when I begin to discover new every day, everything that I do is new. Everything that I touch is new. Let me tell you something. When you begin to start your day like it's a new day every day, it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter what devil you're fighting that day. When you put to bed the previous day and you embrace the new day that God has called you to, you can embrace it victorious because it's new. Old hat. Let me tell you something. The antonym of old hat is new. It's contemporary. It's now. It's current. And I like this one. It's cutting edge. There's a lot of churches that want to be on the cutting edge. There's a church over in Tulsa you can go to, and they have a big youth center, and it's cutting edge. They got, like, I don't know, 80 PlayStations in there, and 10 pool tables and basketball court, and it's cutting edge. My question to them is, what are you doing about those kids' souls? And I've actually talked to some people that are involved in that ministry, and I understand they tried to get it. It was started for a good purpose, but what they began to find as it went on, their turnover of kids is huge. You know why? Because it becomes old hat, Brother Gary. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what golf club you buy or what pistol you buy or what new truck you buy. Anything material that you're trying to fill the void is something new, it becomes old real fast. And if you begin to approach your walk with God from a carnal mindset that this is what it takes to satisfy me, God's going to become old hat real fast. And when God becomes old hat, you're going to begin to find you're not living in victory. You're going to begin to find that circumstances that you used to just breeze right over and didn't bother you, all of a sudden they bother you. And things that you used to overcome, all of a sudden they're up and they're punching you in the face. Why is that? Because you haven't discovered anything new in a while. Sometimes we got to get back in an altar and we got to rediscover the immutability of God and understand that He hasn't changed. If any change has been going on, it's because of me. Sister Lindsay, come back to the piano this evening. Old hat or what's it going to be, church? Are we going to come in on Sunday mornings and we're going to expect that we're going to sing the right praise and worship song, that we're going to play the right music, the pastor's going to declare war on sin? Amen. How many enjoyed that this morning? He said he didn't get to preach, but he got a few licks in this morning. It's how we fight our battles. But if we're not careful, church, we'll move around. We'll blow around. We'll get in. But you're not discovering nothing new, because you already discounted it as something that always is. Don't ever let God become always is. Because God is and always is in your life. Outside of here, God always is. But in the life of His church, God is not always is. He is who you allow Him to be. I want to tell you something just a little bit. In heaven, the 24 elders, they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they say it over and over and over again. And they get up and they bow down and they get up and say it again, day and night. You say, "Well, Brother Jason, when I praise the Lord, it seems like all I can think of to say is, I love you, Jesus. And sometimes it seems redundant to me." Let me tell you something. Jesus loves it. Because when it becomes new to you, it becomes new to Him. All of heaven worships God 24/7. And they don't come up with big grand things to say. God said, this is what we're going to say. And that's what they've been saying for eternity. Here's what I want to tell you though. In Revelation, it says that heaven is quiet. Because the redeemed sing a new song. Did you know that isn't a new song for the redeemed? The redeemed are not going to get to heaven and sing a new song. They're only singing what we've been singing for over 2,000 years. The blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins and we are redeemed. But in heaven, it's a new song. Let me tell you something, church. There's nothing new underneath the sun. But it can be new for you every day. Stand to your feet tonight. I could keep going. It's feeling good, but I don't need to. I want to challenge you to take what God's been doing and let it be new every day. Because what happens is when it's new to you every day, you got to share it with somebody else. I got a new rifle Saturday. What did I do, Brother Robert? I showed it to everybody. I said, look what I got, look what I got, look what I got. When God's old hat, you're not excited about sharing him with anybody. But when God is new every day, you're not going to be able to shut up about it. If you haven't been witnessing, you haven't been soul winning, you haven't been sharing about what God's been doing in your heart, then I question if he's been doing anything. Because if he does something, you're not going to be able to shut up about it. When he becomes new every day, you're going to have to tell somebody about what you discovered new. We may be singing I'll Fly Away for the 600th time. But you know what? Some days, I sing that in a different way. Maybe it is Shout to the Lord on Sunday morning. But you know what? Some folks discovered how to sing that in a new way this morning. Was the song different? No, it wasn't. Was the power of God any different? No, it wasn't. What was different? I was different. God, come in and create something new within me. Amen. Let's gather in these altars this evening. Let God speak to your heart. He hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed. Holiness is still in style. His power, his presence is still all powerful and still here. But he wants to create something new in you. Amen.